God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 21st day of March, 2010, and you're listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Our sermon is taught tonight by our associate pastor, Lynn Schuyler. It is entitled, Focus on Him. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Psalm 37, look at verse 23 with me. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this great privilege and honor to be able to come into your house tonight. And Lord, we don't take it for granted like we said this morning. Lord, we realize today, Father, that this is a privilege. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to have the means, the ability to be able to come and sit into this auditorium and be able to sit underneath the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to show up. Now we ask, God, that you would show up. We ask, God, that we would sense not only your power, but that we would sense your presence. And God, that you would not just talk to us generally, but you would talk to us individually. Help us, Lord, to be able to not just hear a sermon tonight, but hear a specific message for our hearts and our lives. And Father, we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you were here this morning, you heard me say that we had the opportunity to take some of our students down to Heartland Baptist Bible College this past week, so as to help them prepare for the future. And as you can imagine, as a youth pastor, I always have that hidden motive that they will start preparing for their path, their plan, God's purpose that he has for their life. As I got to thinking about that and thinking about them, I started thinking about us, started thinking about the fact that I'll be preaching on Sunday night and started thinking about God's path for us, God's plan for us, not just generally, but individually. God wants to direct us as we navigate through this world. We know that. Matter of fact, we know that because of the many verses that parallel the verse that we just read. Matter of fact, there's a lot of verses. We won't look at all of them, but the Bible says in Psalm 85, verse 13, it says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Proverbs 16, 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And that's why the psalmist cries out many times throughout the book of Psalms. Like, for instance, in Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Or how about Psalm 119, verse 133? It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Boy, how important is it for God to direct our steps? There are some Christians tonight, especially you that are seasoned Christians, and we call them veteran Christians, who if I gave you opportunity tonight, you could tell story after story, time after time, where you know that God directed your steps. Oh, you didn't hear him audibly, maybe like Paul on the road to Damascus. You didn't have a dream like Mary's husband, Joseph, did. The room wasn't filled with light and the ground didn't shake, but you know that you know that you know that God directed your steps. Matter of fact, as you look back at your life, they say hindsight's 20/20. And now you can see even times where you know that God directed your steps, but during that time, you didn't know that. I'm here to tell you, you tonight, you know this verse is true. God directs our steps. Psalm 37:23, my friends, is a great promise to the believer. The reason why I highlight Psalm 37, verse 23 is because the translators that translated the Holy Bible that's in your lap tonight, they put in the words, good man. The reason why they put those words in, good man, it is understood that this promise is not a blank check. This is not a sure thing. This is not just from any Joe Christian who wants the blessing and guidance of God. It doesn't work that way. My friends, it's not possible. Why is this? The best way I can do to illustrate this is to give you an illustration that I gave to our youth probably about 3 months ago. I love our family vacations. It is something that I literally look forward to each and every year. Specifically, our two-week vacation. Our two-week vacation, usually what we do is we hop into our vehicle and we start going towards Tennessee and then to Ohio or vice versa and then back on home. The reason why we hit Tennessee and Ohio is because that's where most of our family are. And as you can imagine, it takes quite a bit of time to get there, and especially with the size of the family, the young age that we have. And so we get in, but we enjoy it. We enjoy the road trips. But man, I'm here to tell you, we wear out our Pixar movies. We wear out our voices as we sing all the Sunday school songs that you can imagine. You can only sing, get this, you can only sing The Ants Go Marching so many times before you get insane. Wouldn't you agree? So after a while, after we've shot our wad, we've done all these different things. Before long, what I'll do sometimes, I'll just turn on the radio. Many times I'll turn to the AM radio station, and I'll try to find myself maybe a sports talk show. Sometimes I'll find a Christian station and maybe find a person who's preaching a message. And I'll start listening to it intently, and the time just kind of goes by. And before long, my wife says, "Lynn, how can you endure that?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "The static." And I'm like, "Oh." I didn't even notice it. As the time went on, it just kind of gotten slowly, a little static here, a little static there. And now that she points it out to me, now I'm noticing every time I go under one of those overpasses, and then all of a sudden it gets back into the dialogue. And I find myself sometimes as I'm listening to those talk shows or listening to that sermon, man, there's something interesting that I'm enjoying listening. There's some information that I want to get from this radio broadcast. And I find myself, as the static continues to build, I find myself kind of leaning forward, or as if this helps, I turn it up louder. Guys, do you ever do that? Turn it up louder, as if that makes it more clear, okay? It makes your wife more frustrated, but it doesn't make the reception any more clear. Well, before long, what happens is this. You've got your radio broadcast, but then all of a sudden another radio broadcast starts crossing that radio broadcast, and basically you might as well just throw up your hands at that point. And when that finally happens, I finally just turn it off. And you know what? It's frustrating, because you know what? I wanted that information. I needed that information, and there was something that was stopping it. It is called static. It's called bad reception. My friends, I got a question for you tonight. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Is it the radio station's fault that I'm getting bad reception, or is it my fault? My friends, the way to answer that question is this: who's moving away from whom? The radio station, man, it's solid, it's set, it's not going anywhere. I'm the one who's moving outside of its zone, right? So therefore, I can't pick up the reception that it's sending out. And my friends, I think that there's probably some pretty good application for us right there. Sometimes you and I, we want information. And my friends, let's be honest, we need that information. And sometimes we even find ourselves straining to understand what's out there. But there's a problem. Something's causing static. Something's causing us to lose the signal. This happened all the time to the people of Israel. Matter of fact, I would like to draw your attention to one of those times. Look at Isaiah 59. And look with me at verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. It says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Look at verse 7. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men." Would you say that that passage of scripture is very vivid? These people wanted God's direction. They wanted God's blessing. But my friends, they knew that this was a very vital for their life. But notice the result. It boiled down to one word as we look at this passage of scripture: static. If you want to put it in a nutshell, as you look at that passage of scripture, static. Question: was there anything wrong with God? My friends, was there anything wrong? Was he busy?
Was he indifferent? Was he deaf? Was he impotent? My friends, none of this is the case. What it came down to was this. These people wanted God's direction, but my friends, they chose to walk away from God. They wanted all the blessings, they wanted all the perks, but they didn't want him. That was the problem. My friends, it doesn't work that way. One cannot know the path of God and ignore the person of God. One cannot think that they will know the way of God without a walk with God. My friends, what the Israelites wanted was a GPS God. You know how GPSs work. If you need directions, you pop it out of the box, you put it up, you punch in the numbers, and all of a sudden you just follow the directions. And when you're in town, you know what you're doing, and you don't really need any help, you take that GPS, you put it back in the box, and it's there just if you need it. And that's exactly how they treated God. When things were bad, they looked to God. But when things got good, and they did get good because God did pour his blessings upon them, then they turned away from God. They didn't need him anymore. And my friends, that's not how it works in life. You and I can't seek the advice of God, but ignore God himself and expect us to make it in this world. It doesn't work for the Israelites, and it doesn't work for the believer today. My friends, I believe, again, there's application for us. God tonight does not want to be your personal information service. He doesn't want that. My friends, tonight, God wants to have a personal relationship with us. I think it's important for us to realize that. I'm not talking just to the church. I'm talking to you tonight. God wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Have you ever noticed, have you ever seen a married couple that's technically married? I mean, they're existing together, but they're not living together. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, man, I'm here to tell you, oil and water, constantly on conflict. You can tell they're on two different pages. It's very sad. They don't get a divorce, all for various reasons. One of the reasons is, well, they don't believe in divorce. And that's a good thing. God hates divorce, right? Some of them don't want to get a divorce because of the kids. And that's good because you know what? Divorce always hurts children. Always. Always. And so those are good reasons. These people, they're existing together, but they're not living together. But there's a whole new trend today, now in 2010. Started in the 2000s. There are people today that, they're not divorcing. Matter of fact, they're not even separating. They are staying in the same house. These people, they're sharing expenses. They're sharing the shopping. They're sharing the chores. Why won't these people leave? And why won't these people get a divorce? It's because they have built a mini empire together. I mean, these people own a nice house. Some of these people actually own summer homes. They own real estate. And a legal divorce would cost them financially. Matter of fact, one person said this in regards to that thought. We were married 30 years before we decided to live separate lives. I was all for a divorce, and so was he. But our accountant gave us two financial scenarios. Divorced, we would lose money. By staying together, we got to keep more of our funds and our health insurance coverage as a married couple. Tax breaks for married couples, married people certainly beat those for singles. We're also looking at the long-term situation with pensions and retirement. Do we lead separate lives? We live in different sections of the house and have separate keys. That says it all. Isn't that sad? Isn't that downright pitiful? These people are focusing in on the perks, but they're ignoring the person. And my friends today, I would dare say sometimes Christians technically have a relationship with God. What that means is they truly did place their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. We don't question that. And my friends, based upon that, if they meant it, get this, they are in the family of God. And with that comes some perks. With that comes some privileges. My friends, with our sins forgiven, we have peace with God. We are a child of God. We have a home in heaven. We have a spiritual inheritance that's ours, that we can actually look forward to someday embracing in our spiritual kingdom. Amen? Those are all facts. But God does not want us to stay in the relationship just for the benefits, just for the perks. My friends, God doesn't just want to be our provider. Can I draw your attention to Romans 8, verse 15? It's a familiar verse, but I'd like you to look at it tonight. Romans 8, verse 15. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And my friends, get this. From what I understand, the various things that I've read and various people that I've listened to, that word Abba, Father, it means something. You know today that most any mature man can become a dad, right? Doesn't take much, does it? But my friends, it takes something special like love, tenderness, sacrifice, and time to become a daddy. My friends, and that's what we're looking at here. The Bible's saying that that's the kind of God he wants to be in our lives individually, personally. He wants to be able to dote on you. He wants to be able to care for you with a loving tenderness. Matter of fact, in one of the books of the prophets, the Bible basically describes our God who is like a new father who looks over a crib and looking down with adoring admiration towards the child that's wrapped in the blanket. That's the kind of God that's actually described in the Bible in regards to his love and his care for you. My friends, tonight, get this. God doesn't just want to be your provider. God wants to be your father. And when we say father, we mean Abba Father, your daddy. God tonight doesn't want you and I just to focus on the technical sense of our relationship, but the practical sense of our relationship. He wants you and I to realize that he pursues a close, special, personal relationship with us. And my friends, he doesn't just desire it. You've heard me say this not long ago. He orchestrates it. And I realize tonight that sometimes that can be irritating. I realize it can be convicting. But my friends, it also can be a blessing. God, he pursues you. He doesn't just pursue our church and the various churches across this nation. He pursues you tonight. My friend, God loves us. Do you know what he says to us who want direction, but we don't have the right walk with him? He says, hey, you want direction? This way. And he points to himself. My friends, that's where it starts. Please understand that God doesn't want you to know his path without knowing his person. God understands tonight that all the other stuff's just extra. All the other stuff is actually inconsequential if God is not the center of all that we pursue in our life. Question, do you want or need his direction tonight? My friends, get this, and I realize this is somewhat important in our Christian life, so put it in context of what I'm saying. But don't so focus so much on the future, your future. Focus on your father. Focus on your father. If you and I will put our father as our main priority, all the other stuff will actually fall into place. It's when we put him in another position that he's not supposed to be in, everything is in disarray. My friends, tonight, let's not just focus on our future. Let us focus on our father. Well, how do we do this? Well, have you ever noticed how, as you read the Bible, that often, as you look at the Israelites, so often they parallel today's believer. Wouldn't you agree with that? I know I see myself in the Israelites so often. Sometimes their foolishness. I see myself there. Well, I'm here to tell you, I would dare say, because that's the case, whatever God told them maybe would apply to us tonight. So let's look at that. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Notice what the Bible says, what God said to the Israelites who found themselves in this bad position. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me," underscore. "And ye shall go and pray unto me," underscore. "And I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." My friends, tonight, we ought to make him a priority. Now, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to actually give something that we hold as very dear, very valuable, in our lives, especially we as Americans, we're going to have to give a thing called time. Anything that's worth having, especially in regards to relationships, get this, takes time. You know that. For you that have close relationships with anybody, whether it be the person beside you or maybe across this nation of ours, anybody that you're close to, the reason why you are close is because you have spent ample time with them. Why is it that we as Americans somehow think that we have the less of any nation when it comes to time? You look at other countries, you look at other centuries. And why is it that we as Americans somehow think that we are people that don't have time, and yet we have so many luxuries in our life that save time? I mean, think about it. I mean, you run out of milk, okay? In our day, you just go down to Brahms or Walmart and you grab some more. Back in the day, you ran out of milk, you got to go see Betsy. Who's Betsy? Betsy's the cow. Honey, do we have any corn tonight? Oh, yeah, go ahead and just go to the pantry and get the can and pop it open. And back in the day, do we have any corn tonight? No, we didn't shuck any. Sorry. I come home late at night sometimes, and I miss dinner. This happens sometimes. And I'll walk in the door, and I say, honey, I said, hey, what's for supper? And she goes, oh, we have this. And just be 1 second. She takes it, pops it in the microwave, beep, beep, beep. 3 minutes later, presto, I've got a meal. Back in the day, farmer came off the field, walked in the house, said, hey, honey, I'm hungry. Hey, not a problem. It'll be there, be ready for you in 30 minutes at least. And that was even back with a little bit of technology. Back then, maybe you had to even get the wood and you had to stoke it. You had to build it up. And then, matter of fact, I don't have all the facts and figures I have in my library. I'm not prepared to give you all the details right now. But as they continue to get advance after advance after advance in the area of technology, do you realize they didn't think we were going to be working 40-hour weeks back in the day? Do you realize that they thought we were going to be working about 20-hour weeks? I mean, we have all this ability now to cut time. I mean, saving time. I mean, this message that I actually have prepared, I didn't write it with my hand. I typed it with my fingers. Saved much time. Think about the various things that you did today. You didn't say, well, kids, it's time to get to church. Hitch up the horse. Yeah. Leaving 3 hours early so you can get on church on time. No, it didn't happen. Some of you got in the last second in your car. You flew across town and you're here. It took you 10 minutes. But we don't have time. Doesn't it sound silly? Countries. Various centuries, they literally look at us enviously. Man, I wish we had that kind of time. My friends, it's not that you and I don't have time. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we just don't have the right priorities. It's important for you and I to realize that you and I have got to prioritize our life. Or yes, our time does get sucked up and lost to vanity and useless pursuits. Let's be real tonight. I'm glad that some of you guys spent some time with a toothbrush today. I've had the opportunity to talk to you, some of you guys in my own personal space, and I'm glad that you got friendly with that toothbrush, okay? As I'm looking around this room, I'm glad that some of you guys got busy with the hairbrush. Don't make any bald jokes, okay? But what it comes down to is this. I'm glad you did that. As I look around this room, appreciate the ladies that are here tonight. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm glad that you spent some time with the makeup. Nothing against, not that you don't have natural beauty, but I appreciate the enhancement, okay? What it comes down to is I'm glad that you and I have understood that there's some things you have to prioritize in your life, or they're missed, right? And you would say, come on, Brother Lynn, that's simple stuff. I mean, that's small stuff. But, I mean, come on, Brother Lynn, that's important. Everybody does that. That's right. You make time for it, right? But then there's another person who's arguing with me right now. Yeah, but there's some more important stuff than just little things like that. And those things eat up my time. I mean, there's work, there's meetings, there's school, there's various sports, there's various functions. Hey, I'm not saying your calendar's not packed. I'm saying that maybe your priority list is skewed. My friends, I'm not saying that we don't have a lot of busyness in our life. That's not the argument. The argument is maybe we need to actually take some things out of our life so we can make time for God. Now, I don't want to be sarcastic, and I'm not purposely trying to be meddling in your business. And please give me some grace as I just try to make some simple application. But is there possibly, as we look at our days, where we can maybe rustle up some more time for God? How much time do you watch television? I'm amazed sometimes. Oh, man, I just don't have time, man. But just a moment ago, they were talking about, oh, yeah, they watch this show and they watch this show. And boy, did you see so-and-so last night? That was hilarious. But a moment ago, they were saying they didn't have any time. And I'm not saying toss out your television. I'm not saying we can't watch television. I'm just saying, how much television do we need in our life? How much fantasy do we really need? How much entertainment is necessary for us to be able to enjoy this existence? My friends, how much surfing of the internet do you do? How much downloading of music do you do? Now, this is going to be touchy, but how much Facebooking do you do? I'm not against Facebooking. I have one of those, what do we, I don't know what you call it, a contract or what. I barely use it, but I get on it occasionally just to find out how things are going with my friends and my family. It's fine. It's a little networking, getting able to stay connected. I'm not going to try to defend myself, all right? But get this. How much Facebooking is necessary? I get on there sometimes and I'm like, do people have lives? Do you do anything? I mean, there was a time in a day that there used to be, the popular thing was quizzes galore. And everybody, you look like so-and-so. Well, you're like such and such character. And man, you look like this dog. And this is just all kinds of crazy. I wish I could remember them all these just crazy quizzes. And some people, I mean, a big, huge list of all these quizzes that they took that day. I think farming's good, but what's this thing about Farmville? Now, please understand, I don't think it's wrong. It's not sin to play Farmville, okay? Please put it in the context. By the way, I'll probably say this again. God's not against us having some leisure time, some relaxation. But for you that aren't Facebookers, okay, don't even know what I'm talking about. Face what? Okay. For you that are, have you ever gotten on there going, what in the world? I mean, does this woman feed her family? I mean, good night. I mean, she takes care of the pigs. How about her children? I mean, wow. I don't even want to talk about the mafia thing out there called Mafia War. By the way, I wish I could. I mean, Christians fantasizing that they're thugs. What is that all about? But what it comes down to is how much stuff do we have to fill our day with? Before we blush before God and say, oh, I'm sorry, God, I ran out of time. We pillow our head once again at night and we go to sleep, barely saying boo to God. And parents, let me just simply say, I would encourage you by God's grace to show your kids that you do spend time with God. Let them catch the Bible in your lap. Let them catch you on your knees before God. We are having a dearth literally in our youth society, not just in this church, but across this land. And I'm just wondering if they're not catching the passion because the passion is not being displayed before them. To have a relationship with God, it takes time. Well, how do you do that, my friends? Well, then you got to slow down. Would you agree with me that we live in a very fast-paced society? I mean, busy, 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 busy. And there's no doubt about it. But let me remind you of the simplicity of Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, I realize it's crazy, and I sometimes get caught up in the rat race. But you know what? It is a discipline. You and I have got to say, whoa! Sometimes we even have to say, no! I'm not doing that. It's not that that's wrong. It's just I'm not going to take all of my energies and I'm not going to pour them into that pursuit and allow God to be the one who loses out. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to prioritize my day. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to give God my undivided attention. Not just slow down, but turn it down. We don't just live in a busy society. We live in a loud society. I mean, everybody just yelling and screaming and man, just constantly vying for our attention and distracting us from our path. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes we get into the car, we turn on the radio. We get into our home, we turn on the television. We get on the internet. I mean, we just blah, 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 blah. But let me remind you of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. The Bible says that God spoke with a still small voice. Have you ever wondered sometimes? God, why aren't you speaking? Maybe he is, but he's not going to yell. You understand that? Did you catch that? It's not that God's ignoring you. Maybe he's talking. Maybe you're allowing yourself to be distracted by the loudness of this world. My friends, don't just turn it down, but listen up. I have a good relationship with my wife. I would hope and pray that we show that to this church. We love each other. We enjoy each other. But one of the reasons why we have a good relationship is I've actually talked to people who know her. I've talked to family members and past friends and learned details about her that I didn't necessarily know just face value. I didn't know just simply by peeling back a few different layers. But they opened up to me a world of knowledge that was so helpful in my pursuit and my growth and my love for her. Does that make sense? I love being able to hear extra stories. I mean, I've been married for we're going on 13 years, right? And I love those times when it's like, I didn't know that. I mean, it's just neat. It's a wealth of knowledge. It's like little nuggets I can put in my pocket. It helps me become closer to her. Friends, when you come to this church, listen up. And I'm not talking about just listen to the person behind this pulpit, but listen to the person who's in the pew. Listen to these people who love him and adore him and have something to say about him. Man, when we come here, let's not just put in our time. Let's come in here and be passionate about getting to know him. He loves us. Sometimes not saying we can't ever talk about small stuff. I think we like each other. We enjoy each other. We're friends with each other. And sometimes we have common interests with each other. And I think it's okay to have some small talk about stuff. But God help us as if all of our conversation while we darken these doors is all on the trivial. And we don't have any time for the spiritual. You know what's amazing is sometimes when God shows up and literally you can just tell that this is a message from God. And we close with the amen and people get up and they right off start talking about their sports team or whatever they want to talk about. But it's not about him. It's about things that don't matter. I'm not saying that we can't ever talk about that stuff. Please understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if that's the main talk, we're missing out. And we have not understood the reason why we even gathered. It was supposed to be about him. And we're not caught up in him. And I've been guilty of that myself. By God's grace, God will help me in that. My friends, please understand, if you're going to pursue someone, it takes a pursuit. How's that for being really profound? It takes effort. Does that make sense? And my friends, it takes a diligence. It takes a focusedness. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to say, what are you talking about? Man, we don't have time for the trivial. Well, no. What it comes down to, though, is this. It should be a personal mission of each and every one of us. Man, I want to know everything I can. I want to know from this pastor, and I want to know that from this member. Tell me, what's he like? What's he done in your life lately? How has he shown himself true to you? What miracle has God done in your life? Would you encourage me? I need encouragement. And would you tell me about him? My friends, I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to be reminded of God's love. I don't just want to experience his power. Experience the presence. Does that make sense? My friends, let us not just get caught up in our future. Though that's important, for crying out loud, of course it's important. Get caught up in your Father. He loves you tonight. I close by simply asking a question. Have you ever been lost before? I have been lost on the ample time. Fortunately, God has blessed me on many levels with the wife that he's given me. She's kind of got this like built-in radar, okay, this built-in compass. And I've learned to listen to the, I don't know if that's the right direction. I've learned, okay. Once she kind of starts doing that number, I'm like, what, did we miss something? Which road did I not take, okay? But you know what? What it came down to is a few years back, my wife and I, pastor, he had, you know, this new toy. Again, let me go back to the GPS. He got this new toy, the GPS. And he's like, you can take it on your vacation. It was one of those two-week vacations. Oh, we don't need that. I mean, we're just going to Tennessee and Ohio, and we kind of know the way. But, you know, just in case, I mean, there might be some time that you need an alternate route, and it's just there. Just try it. And so as to, you know, appease him, we took it. And so sure enough, we put it in there, and we figured it all out. And, you know, my wife read the manual. I didn't. But she read the manual. She figured it out. We had it on our dashboard. One point, when we were getting to Ohio, man, we were 40 minutes away from Granny and Grandpa's house. I could taste it. My kids could taste it. I mean, we were there about to unload, about to enjoy a week with them. And boy, all of a sudden, grinding to a halt, construction. Oh, man, it was, I'm talking, it was one of those, I could get out and walk faster, those kind of situations. I mean, gridlock. So finally, my wife and I were like, man, we got this GPS. And there's an exit. What we'll do is we'll just take an alternate route. We'll get off the beaten path. And Jill, that was the name of the voice that we chose. Jill will give us an alternate route. And so sure enough, we got off the beaten path. And sure enough, we heard recalculating. That's the best woman voice I can do. Recalculating. And so sure enough, all of a sudden she says, turn right. And so we turn right. Turn right. And so we turned right. Turn right. And so we turned right. You getting the idea? Turn right. My friends, that's a circle, all right? And what she did is she led us right back to the path that we started on. And we're like, no, that's not the direction we wanted to go. And so I go ahead and I don't take it. And so I move on. And so all of a sudden, Jill, she goes, recalculating. I'm like, okay, she's going to get it right this time because we want an alternate route, okay? We want a different path. And so sure enough, she goes, turn right. And so we turned right. Turn right. And so we turned right. And all of a sudden, you get the idea, led us right back to the road. And I'm like, no, that is not the direction that we want to go. Turn that thing off. And so we did. We turned it off, and we just kind of freelanced it. And so we're zigging, and we're zagging, we're enjoying the countryside. And before long, we're lost. I mean, big time lost. And so you know what we did is I looked at my wife, and my wife looked at me, and we pushed on. We brought Jill back to life. And all of a sudden, Jill goes, recalculating. Turn right. Turn right. Turn right. Turn right. And you know where she led us? Right back to the road. You know what? Sometimes in our life we go, God, I need direction. And God says, turn right. Turn right. Turn right. And he leads us to him. He said, well, God, yeah, I think you misunderstood me. I mean, this is a financial need. I have a financial question. I need direction here. This is a marital need. I need direction here. It's a parental need. I need direction here. Why are you leading me there? I need direction for this. And God says, turn right. Turn right. And he leads us to him. We say, but God, I need direction. God says, this way, and he points to himself. My friends, that's where it has to start. God wants a relationship with us, and until we make him the priority of our lives, we're going to be covering a lot of ground, but making no progress. You want direction tonight? God says, this way, and he's pointing to himself. Let's go ahead and stand. Dear Father God, tonight we do thank you for once again allowing us to be able to come to your house tonight. And I do pray, God, that you did exactly what we prayed about before we started into the message this evening. And that is, Lord, you tailor-made a message that would speak to us individually, inspire us, guide us, maybe even convict us. But that you would have your will and your way in us. And Father, I pray that you did do one specific thing tonight, and that is this. Make it clear that you love us. You want to be with us. You don't want us just to be technically involved with you. You want us to be practically engaged with you. And Father, I pray that you would have spoken to some hearts tonight. Thank you for speaking to my heart through this whole process. And I pray, Father, that a great work would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to have you turn to page 351. We're going to sing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." Maybe tonight you want to come forward, and maybe when God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe it was just, you know what? God, I'm so thankful for the way you have given me direction over my life. And maybe some different scenarios or situations have come across your memory and you just want to thank God for that tonight. We'd like to invite you to come. Maybe you want to just thank God for the relationship that he has given you and how sweet it has been recently. And maybe you just want to be grateful for that. That would be wonderful. We invite you to come. But let's be honest. The main thrust of tonight's message is we need to make him a priority tonight. And if God has spoken to your heart, maybe even just a specific area where he's not priority, I invite you tonight maybe to come and lay it down at this altar. But if God has spoken to your heart, you come as we sing.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my voice.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our associate pastor, Lynn Schuyler. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit us. We're just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.